Someone lost their candy. That's a good thing. I'm okay. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon is from the Old Testament, from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. I want to show you today how the law and the gospel are working in the Old Testament and what this means for our lives today. First, the law. Remember, the law shows us our sins and the need of a Savior. The first and obvious law in this text is that Naaman, the commander of the Assyrian army, has leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is a skin disease, or diseases. Our kindergartners this week at First Lutheran have been learning about the body. Well, leprosy can affect the skin and the nerves underneath the skin, the eyes, and inside the nose and the throat where you breathe. It's uncomfortable to have leprosy. And if left untreated, it can cause permanent damage to the skin and with disfiguration and sometimes even bring about an early death. According to the World Health Organization, 2 to 3 million people today still suffer from today's version of leprosy. We may tend to forget that because a lot of diseases and suffering don't make headline news. We focus on the big numbers and the bottom lines, the plane crashes, the church shootings, and the new and the intriguing gadgets and hybrid cars, but the old problems are still there. The suffering and affliction that carries on and randomly shows up in all people, regardless of age, gender, race, or creed. Americans get sick, and Russians get sick, and the Chinese get sick, and even Germans get sick. Now, how is this law? How does Naaman's leprosy show our sin in need of a Savior? Well, it does because sickness is a symptom of a world in a broken relationship with God. Sickness is not what God had in mind from the very beginning when he created this world and called it good. People all long for the world to return to that which was good. Naaman wasn't happy with his leprosy. He didn't want to stay a leper for the rest of his life. He wanted to be well. No one who is sick wants to remain sick unless they're a little sick in the head. Naaman knew what his body looked like before. And he knew how his body felt before. It looked good. It used to feel good. But now it was looking and feeling not good. It itches. It hurts. It's scaly. It's repulsive to look at. And as a commander of an army, someone to whom other men are supposed to look up to for strength, this disease was a real downer. Superheroes aren't supposed to get sick and look ugly. They're supposed to be supermodels and super healthy, except for that missing arm that they lost in a heroic fight. But no one wants a leper leading them into battle. People long for the return of the good, to wellness, to wholeness, to what the world must have been like before the fall into sin. Where no one is sick and no one dies. That's what the world is like before the fall. Where everyone can look around and say, ah, perfect. Life is good. So a little review of the law we've heard so far. Because we live in a fallen world, sickness can affect everyone, anyone, and often does affect everyone, whether you're a nobody, like the Hebrew girl in the text today, or a Naaman, who was the commander of the Assyrian army. Another teaching of law in the text today, which shows our sin, is this Naaman's sin of reluctance. He was reluctant to go to Israel to be healed by Israel's God. What this little girl was suggesting is that he go to Israel, and after all, it was just this little Hebrew girl, a nobody, who suggested that he go and find the prophet of her people rather than his people. What she was suggesting required Naaman to give up trusting in his own gods, whether that be a false idol like Ashur, the Babylonian god of war, or perhaps Marduk, the supreme solar god of Assyria, or to give up trust in himself as someone who can auto-heal himself with little time and TLC. Like when we try to get over that cold without seeing a doctor. Now that may work with a cold, but not with leprosy. Naaman was reluctant. I normally don't use football analogies in my sermons. I don't know as much about football as Pastor Busher does, and many of you do. I'm kind of like Margaret Curring, who said it best this week at 55 Alive. Everything I learned about sports, I learned from my pastor. But consider this. Suppose UT had a bad start to the football season next year, and a little girl from Florida sees Lane Kiffin, the UT football coach, sees him at Walmart with his head down, and she comes up to Mr. Kiffin and says, "Mr. Kiffin, you really ought to send your quarterback to Florida. They can show him how to throw." I think Mr. Kiffin would be a little reluctant to do so, don't you think? Likewise, we all are reluctant at times to seek God's help. We want to be in control. We want to be smart enough to know about which pill to take when I'm sick like this, or want to believe that, oh, I can just sleep this off on my own. We don't need a doctor. We'll be fine. But at the heart of reluctance is doubt, distrust, and unbelief. Doubt that the problem is real rather than nothing. Distrust that even if it's real, no one can really help. Or unbelief that God really cares about my problems. All those things are just what the devil ordered. Doubt, distrust, and unbelief. Now, there's certainly more law in this text, but let's stop there and see how the gospel is working in the Old Testament for Naaman and for us today. Remember that the gospel is good news. It's really the best news. It shows our Savior and the grace of God. It's the answer to the problem of the law that the law reveals when it creates and shows our sin and sicknesses. First, the gospel for Naaman. Well, having humbled himself and gone to Israel, God's word shows us that Naaman encountered the power of God working through the word of the prophet Elisha, and the water that Elisha said would heal Naaman. Elisha sent someone, a messenger, to Naaman, telling him to wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, at first, Naaman didn't like what he heard. He expected Elisha to come out and stand over Naaman and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and to wave his hand all over the place and then cure the leprosy. Naaman doubted the word of God coming from Elisha. It sounds like from Naaman's word that the Jordan must have paled in comparison to the much, much nicer rivers in Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar. He expected the so-called God of Israel to use the Rolls Royce of rivers rather than a Ford Focus or a Dodge Colt. And I quote, "Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers in Israel? Could I not wash in one of them?" Similarly today, some people don't think our baptismal font here at the corner of Wells and Broadway is as good as a trickling mountain stream in the Smokies with little birds singing and flowerets nearby and maybe a nice gentle bear or a nice deer looking on from the sidelines. Or that our font isn't as holy as some other church that dunks you fully underwater or ships in its water from the Holy Land. God's word here teaches us the important thing. Stop doubting and believe. Use the water that the prophet tells you to use. it's not really the water, it's the Word of God with the water that does these things. Otherwise, water is just plain water. Naaman was supposed to wash 7 times in the water. 6 times would have been too few. 8 times would have been too many. 7 times. 1 for each day of the week that God had made. He is, after all, the God of creation. Naaman, however, was about to go home with his pride and his leprosy. But Naaman's servants saw the bigger picture. Elisha was preaching the law and the gospel. Do it God's way or do it your way. But because of God's mercy, he says, you will be healed. They asked him, is it too much to go and do as the prophet said? So Naaman wisely took his friend's advice. He went and he dipped himself 7 times, and well, you know the rest of the story. Naaman was healed. His flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. But the gospel is not simply that Naaman was healed. The gospel is knowing that the God of Israel was gracious to Naaman, despite his reluctance, and despite his pride, and despite his previous trust in false gods. God freely offered his salvation, his healing, to Naaman, who wasn't even an Israelite. God wanted Naaman and all people to trust the Word of God and the water, especially this day, the water, the River Jordan water. After all, in the Jordan, many years later, would come a man wanting to be baptized by John the Baptist, a man named Jesus, who would wash in Naaman's bath water and take his sin and sickness with him to the cross. The same man who today in the Gospel from Mark 1 healed a leper. Many times in the Gospels did Jesus heal lepers. And the gospel for us today is in hearing this, that Jesus is here today to restore once again all of us from the sin of leprosy that infects each one of us. He is here with his word and his water to restore unclean sinners to perfection in God's sight despite our reluctance, despite our pride, and despite our trust in previous false gods. Jesus is the doctor who offers the same medicine to everyone, great and small, a nobody or a Naaman. He says, come to the prophet that I appoint to you. Come and wash and be healed. Give up your false gods and stop trusting in yourself. Jesus is also the God of creation, who heals the sick today through the work of many doctors and nurses around the world who serve as God's instruments. It's amazing how many people have been sick and then restored because of God's help. Even in this fallen world, many prayers have been answered. And for those who do not get well, because sin never does really leave us side of heaven, God has also revealed an answer to that law, the law of death, which rules over sinners daily. He has revealed to us the truth of Jesus' resurrection, the guarantee of our own through faith in Jesus Christ. God has revealed to us the new creation in Jesus' risen body, where only his wounded hands and his feet are the last signs of the old, imperfect world. The new world that he reveals is good. It is holy. It is comfortable, not itchy. It's beautiful, not disfigured. It is clean. When we get there and we look around, we'll finally say, ah, perfect. Life is good again. And as you go back into your homes today and back to work, may you remember the gospel from 2 Kings today. God works his healing through water and word and the servants of God. He revealed his power to heal Naaman despite his pride and reluctance, and he reveals it to us despite ours. Word and water and the power of God, these three things go together, and God has worked them for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to confess our